If you could have had a referendum on the court, you'd be there today and till doomsday. Because I know enough about the esteem in which you were held because I was there. I can contribute that much.
Yeah. I always felt.
By Soapy and the rest.
Yeah. I always felt that that I made friends and gained respect from my colleagues in the court. I felt that, and but you know, that's the way things go.
Let's stop it there. Yeah. If I understand your now, this is Justice Lindemer continuing the tape. That the forward part of this tape was done on October 4th, and this is continuing that discussion about his service on the Michigan Supreme Court. So, Justice Lindemer, how we start this part of it?
Well, Roger, you were, when we were talking last, you'd made a marginal notation somewhere about a philosophy that I had with respect to the court letting the legislature set policy rather than the court stepping in to set policy. And I remember that we had some philosophical differences on that up there. And I think the highlight of the difference was with Soapy. He really believed that there were things which he could see in the light of today's wisdom that mandated changes in what had been established precedent. And I generally felt that if those changes were to come, that they should come as a result of legislative action rather than action by the court. I didn't think that it was our function to step into that and make those changes. But he did. And it was just an honest difference in philosophy.
Would you go so far as to call his attitude judicial activism or...
I think it was judicial activism, and I was a judicial conservative. And it isn't that we always disagreed on the outcome of the matter. Some of the things that he was trying to do, I didn't think at all were evil or contrary to the interests of the public, but I felt that the court shouldn't do it, that we should defer to the legislature.
Did Shavers come during this period, or Plasek? Comparative negligence was one.
No. Those came after. And but that is the type of thing. That is the type of thing that that Soapy did and did successfully. But those were after I had left the court.
Oh, I see.
And but you know, a part of the consequence of that is that, for instance, the no-fault statutes were enacted during the period of time in which we had contributory negligence. And then, and the remedial action that the legislature took into consideration the fact that we had contributory negligence. Then Soapy changes contributory negligence to comparative negligence, and still leaves the no fault in there as the no fault had been devised to apply to contributory negligence, so that you really get differing results than the legislature could have foreseen when they did it. And that's the kind of thing that troubled me. But again, it was just a matter not of right and wrong necessarily, but of philosophy and of the belief in what the court should or should not do. And I felt reasonably strongly that the court should resist doing things that were not clearly within its mandate.
Did you have the highway cases or some of them where the rule of, I think it was Reich, was tested, the idea that the legislature had said under certain accident conditions where the highway department or transportation department was a defendant, a highway mm-hmm. defect, that the aggrieved party, or a person that presumably was going to sue, had a very limited period of time, I think it was 60 days, to make the first move. And if the party did not do that, the right to go after the highway department for defective bridge or whatever was surrendered.
In the court of claims.
Now, I remember that case, but I can't remember whether this was in your time band.
Mm-hmm.
And the same principle came up later, and I can remember repeated dissents. Look, mm-hmm. here's what the legislature said was the time for this mm-hmm. kind of remedy mm-hmm. to be sought.
Mm-hmm.
In its wisdom or lack of it, it's not mm-hmm. for us to second-guess the legislature.
In,